Hello and welcome to The Game's Gone Mad with me, Pete. As always, we're covering the biggest footballing news and gossip from around the world, meaning today we'll be breaking down the good, the bad and the ugly from a busy deadline day here in England, the return of the Premier League and a certain want-away star being left with a sour taste in his mouth. The Game's Gone Mad. The Dogcast is back, but this time without the Dodd. R.I.P. Olivia.
Sadly, Matty.
For those of you who don't know, don't worry, Olivia's not dead. She's just very selfishly abandoned us for a role at Sky Sports Football, moving on to bigger and better things. So we, of course, wish her all the best with that. But fear not, as we still have Patrick Van Straten.
Hi.
And we've promoted Zach Jalab from the Youth Academy to the first team.
Regular.
Debut. Debut on the
not
first
really.
Team. This is where, like, you know, youth players get played, but they're in the youth team and they play a couple of first teams. But the next season, they then get actually into the first team.
And then the fans turn on them because they underperform.
And then you get sold to TFR.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when the Ravens.
Patrick, big week for you as well.
Yeah, it was a big week for
Monumental.
Me. I turned 30 this week. And I received birthday cards / letters from both of you,
and
from Olivia Dodd, RIP. So it was very nice. It was touching, and now I'm old and I hate it.
30's the new 20, mate, as they say.
This might not make sense. I don't mind being 30, but I mind not being in my 20s.
I totally get that.
The idea of being 30 is not that bad to me, because like 29, whatever. But like the idea of now just suddenly I'm not, like, I'm going to do park run tomorrow morning. Mm. And the category I was in up until now was men 25 to 29.
Yeah.
Not in that anymore. So now suddenly I think I'm going to get much better at running, because the people I'm judged against, it'll be like just old bastards, like sad dads.
Wait, it goes from 25 to 29 and then just 30 plus?
I think it goes like 30, 35, but it would be great if it was just like 30 to the grave. Like, that's the group that you're in now.
To be fair, like all the stuff I sign up for now, I'm like in the third tier.
Yeah.
The third tier of age, and it's a bit depressing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, like, I feel like it's a good time in life where like, I actually think that after 25, Zach, this is something for you. After 25 is a really good time, because like you're still reasonably young, that people consider you young, like as in you're still appealing to like MILFs. But but you actually have some money and you have like, you have total freedom and like, I don't know. I'm hoping that it won't be that bad.
Yeah. No, I guess like 30 to 40 is just when shit happens. It's when like a lot of life stuff happens.
Yeah.
Bring on the kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, FD kids could be a thing that happens at some point. Who knows?
No, we've literally got enough kids in this office already.
Yeah, exactly.
We do not need another one.
I will 100% leave before that. So
right, so given that deadline day was yesterday in England, we may as well kick off with our headline topic of just a deadline day reaction. So the Premier League spent a total of £1.41 billion this window. £170 million of that was yesterday. But what are we saying about the latest moves? There's a decent bit of business being done in North London, so it's probably best to start there.
Yeah, I mean, deadline day felt a bit different from usual, didn't it? Like, in the sense of, like, it was considered moves that have been going on for a long time getting over the line, as opposed to clubs panicking, except for in the case of, you know, like Marcus Rojo to Everton. Like, it felt actually like the moves that went on were like Spurs obviously had always thought we will go back and get Lo Celso done at the end of the window, having leaked a bunch of like rumours about Bruno Fernandes and all these other guys. Like, it felt like this finally was just, okay, we'll go back in and we'll get him at the price we want. And Sessegnon, similarly, that's been percolating for a couple of years. Same with Kieran Tierney. David Luiz, that's come up quite quickly, but I think Arsenal always kind of had the idea of, you think the panic buy?
I think it's panic buy.
Yeah?
I mean, I think if you guys went in with Upamecano, like he was the ideal player, and obviously they essentially priced you out.
Yeah, they just quoted
him. I mean, that was like $75 million.
Yeah, which is fair enough, and especially after this next season, maybe then that kind of figure is more reasonable. And so then it was like, are we really going to go into the first Premier League game with Socrates and Chambers at the back, with Mustafi's backup?
Yeah. But also Holdings, is he injured?
He's injured at the moment, but he's played his first. I think he played his first under 23.
It looks like he and Bellerin should be back in a couple of months,
which is actually very good. I actually rate him a lot. Last season he was particularly good. He didn't lose a single game when he was playing as well.
Is that true?
Yeah, last season he didn't lose a single game.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe with the Luiz thing, you could argue it's a panic buy. But as panic buys go, I don't think it's a bad one.
I get where you're coming from in terms of a bit of a panic buy. It's just that the panic was anybody but Mustafi, to be honest. And for 8 million quid, I would take that. Like, he's not really consistent. You don't know what David Luiz you're getting game in, game out, but Surely it can't be worse than Mustafi.
I think he'll be our best. I think he's our best centre back. I think he'll be our best centre back. I really do.
On his day, he can be very, very good, and even arguably like sometimes the best in the league. I think it was against Manchester United. I can't remember. There was a game last season where I was like, "Oh my god, this is."
And this game against Liverpool last season or the season before where he was unreal.
Exactly. However, he can also have the games where it's like, "What are you doing?" And if you don't have a competent left back. It's even worse because then he's have to try to fill two positions.
With players that are inconsistent, if they're attacking players, they get away with it a lot more because they can have an absolute blinder that sticks in everyone's mind and then kind of go on the peripheries for another couple of games. It's not that important. Whereas if a centre-back is having an absolute mare of a run of games, you know, you're just going to concede goals.
But on the plus side, I think it will stabilise other areas of the pitch. So if you've got David Luiz and you've got Tierney on the left of him, if you've got and you've got Ceballos in front of him, Ceballos is much better defensively than Xhaka. Tierney is better than all of our fullbacks, except for maybe a fully fit Bellerin, who knows. And the fact that you've got Luiz's passing means that you can just drop Xhaka. Like, and so overall,
I think... club captain?
Well, we have many club captains, apparently, which is basically like us admitting that we've got nobody who's good. Like,
so it seems United.
Just make Hector Bellerin captain.
I'd be against that, you know.
Everyone loves him.
Is he there now?
Just make him captain for being the fittest bloke there.
Yeah. That's a big shout. Lacazette is very good looking, I think. Also, you love Cristiano Ronaldo, and Granit Xhaka literally has Cristiano Ronaldo's face on a different head.
I just don't like Xhaka in general.
I get that.
I mean, it was Giroud, obviously.
No, but our club's got way less hot recently, over the last couple of years. Like, Nicolas Pepe is okay, and Lacazette, I think, is a handsome guy, but generally speaking, the midfield now, it's not good. Ramsey was probably our hottest midfielder last year.
Just a bunch of fives on the bone.
Oh, at best fives. It's basically now Bellerin. I think Maitland-Niles has got something about him. I like his 70s thin moustache. It's Lacazette, and it's on a good day Xhaka. But I hate him so much that
Leno's
it's hard
all right.
to see.
Leno's okay.
He's like an Olivia Dodd like type, isn't he? Just a sort of blonde, like, ubermensch.
Probably lives in Clapham.
Yeah.
Should we go back to the
first Should we go back to Arsenal signing? So, Ceballos, Pepe, David Luiz, Kieran Tierney.
It's a good window. It's a very good window.
It is a good window.
Considering
isn't it?
Recent windows, right? Like, that's the thing. A lot of Arsenal fans, I guess, over the past few seasons have felt let down over particular signings. And there's always been one good one, like Aubameyang, like a Zed. Yeah. There's always been someone where it's like, oh, like, that is good. But what about the rest? Like, we've always had a good attacking line.
You're getting
what about
left
the defense?
Behind.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, Kieran Tierney is a very good, a solid acquisition.
25 mil is a good price as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they've also let go of Iwobi and Koscielny, but I mean, Koscielny wasn't going to make a difference anyway because he'd be injured
half
the season.
The Iwobi thing is difficult. The Iwobi thing to me,
£34 million pounds for Iwobi.
I don't think that's that much for like a player with his baseline. Like that's less than they paid for Richarlison, and like, I don't know, Iwobi has numbers that are at least as good as Richarlison's. Like I look at Iwobi and I just think,
but that must have been like Emery has sat him down and gone, look, mate, I'm not going to be playing you as much as you probably want. And if you want a playing time and to better your career, this might be the option.
I think
for
he
you
would
then.
Have played him quite a bit, but I feel like it might have been, we need to bring money in from somewhere.
Yeah, true.
We're not going to sell one of our big two strikers because we just want to go ham for top four this year. And nobody's coming in for Ozil or Mickey. That to me is what it is. Like the selling Iwobi is a failure to sell Mkhitaryan or Ozil. And I don't know.
Do you think he would have got more minutes than Mkhitaryan next season?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's just more versatile. Like, and he's much more ball secure. Like,
I mean, he's great at advancing the ball in the final third.
He's just a really good passer. Like, he had really good underlying numbers last season and underperformed both in goal scoring and in people converting the chances he made, which is not his fault. I think that he'll have a really good career. And I don't know. It's disappointing.
He's moved to a club of about 1,000 wingers.
Yeah, but he's better than all of them, like, pretty much. And I think, basically, to me, it turns the window from, like, an A into maybe a B minus. But
Just from losing Iwobi.
Sure. Because I think if you're going to...
That's huge.
I think if you're going to say, like, we are going to go all in on making top four this season, £34 million is not so much. But could we have sold him for the same amount next summer? Probably.
But you're saying your window's a B minus now because you've lost Iwobi despite having an alleged budget of £45 million. this summer.
What happened?
And getting
here?
Tierney for 25, David Luiz for 8, Nicolas Pepe for 72, Saliba for 27, and Martellini for 6 million plus Ceballos on loan. And that's not an A.
No, not really. I don't think it is.
What more can you do?
Emery must have gone to the board and been like, I need you guys to back me here this season. Like, if you get you buy the players I want,
Arsenal,
you buy the players that we
an
need.
Absolute madness this window.
We've had a good window. We have had a good window, but I also don't think Iwobi is as bad as people think he is, and I don't think Pepe is maybe quite as good as people think he is. I hope he is. I think he, don't get me wrong, I think Pepe's a really, really good player, but I don't think this is like us signing like Mo Salah like before he went to Liverpool. So
I mean, his numbers are pretty good.
His numbers are dirty, but there are a lot of penalties.
Yeah, so this thing, 22 goals last season in the league, but 9 of those were penalties. But still, even if you take out those penalties, his expected goal involvements per 90 is 0.65.
Yeah, but then again, Iwobi's was 0.53. So, yeah. I mean, like, and Iwobi is 2 years younger. So you kind of look at that and you think, okay, don't get me wrong, I don't think Iwobi is like the same level prospect as Pepe. But Arsenal had one good young forward going into the season, and that was Iwobi. Then they signed another one in Pepe. Then we sold Iwobi. So now we've got one good young forward again. And so the way... Look, it could be okay, but it actually, to me now, I will rate this window in A, depending how next summer's window goes. Because if what we do is next summer... We've apparently re-upped Lacazette and Aubameyang's contract. Mm-hmm. If next summer we go and we buy a lights-out young centre-back to play alongside Saliba, and we make Ceballos permanent, and we sell one or both of those forwards, I'd probably try and sell Lacazette. And then with that Lacazette money, we invest in a young forward, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. My worry is that next year, if we don't go and buy at least one young forward next year, we're making a problem for ourselves like down the road.
Just lack of longevity.
Yeah, so I think like it would have been fine actually if we'd spent all our money this summer on the defence, really. Mm-hmm. Like, and the attackers are kind of a bonus. But yeah, I think like next summer on the docket needs to be a great young centre-back and young forwards, because Lacazette is going to be, I think he's going to be 29 next year. Aubameyang's going to be 31. So you do really need to think about those. And to be honest, shifting Mickey and Ozil would help.
Yeah. I think, unarguably, a fantastic window.
A good window.
A fantastic window. I would say fantastic.
He won't drop it.
But what about the other side of North London? Spurs.
Arguably fantastic.
Again, I personally think they're both competing for the best window.
Ish.
Spurs.
Ish.
Spurs, with a qualification.
Right, okay.
Spurs had a weird one because if they didn't do this, it was going to be very worrying. They were going into the season with having, say, Harry Winks to rely on in central midfield. Whereas the fact they've brought in Lo Celso, and Ndombele, Sessegnon, and Jack Clarke, who's also pretty good.
Well, he's out on loan, though. Isn't
he is. But they've kind of fixed what we were worried for. They've kind of gone out and done, and we've touted these players all throughout last season, saying these are great signings that Spurs should make, and they have, and they've gone and done that. Like, imagine Ndombele and Lo Celso playing central midfield together, ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean the only worry,
and Ali and Eriksen,
yeah, and then Son. Like Kane. The only other worry that they've got over the next couple of windows, I mean, definitely in January, they've got to pick up a right back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what's happening there. Serge Aurier is good, but Serge Aurier can also be terrible.
So that's my qualification, right? So last year, Spurs had no midfield. They went and solved the midfield spectacularly. Now they have no right back.
Yeah.
Like, their options at right back now are Aurier, who Poch hates.
Kyle Walker-Peters.
No, I don't know. Does anyone know?
The fact that Foyth was getting minutes at right back at the end of last season over Kyle Walker-Peters suggests to me that Poch doesn't really believe in Kyle Walker-Peters. And I don't think most people do. And then Foyth, who's injured and is a centre-back.
Okay, yeah, they have no right-back, but also link that back to the fact that they managed to keep Odovarel. So again, it's kind of six of one, half a dozen the other for me in that. Yeah, okay, that's not great. But also the fact that they managed to keep the most integral part of the
centre-back. But to be honest, bad fullbacks and great centre-backs. They're like the opposite of Arsenal.
But to be honest, in the next couple of seasons, they're going to be needing to pick up new centre-backs anyway. Yeah. Like, I like Sanchez, and I actually quite like Foyth.
Me too.
But the idea of a Foyth and Sanchez centre-back partnership is kind of worrying. And that's like red card central.
Yeah, over the next couple of years...
Adebayor's 32, 33 now?
Over the next couple of years, they need a new keeper.
Yeah.
They need probably two new centre-backs.
Yeah.
They need a new right-back. They will need a striker to play behind Kane. They'll probably need somebody to play off the right. Like, so, yes, they've sold their midfield for, like, 5 years to come minimum. Like, and that is amazing how they've done that. Like, they couldn't have got two better players, really.
For good prices as well.
Like, for very good prices. But... There is still work to, if Harry Kane gets injured this season, then you've got like a Son front line and you've got to rely on your midfield to do an awful lot.
This is why that whole Dybala deal would have been unbelievable for them, I think, because you play him through as a second striker. Granted, it probably would sacrifice Eriksen and you know, he would probably end up at Real Madrid by the end of the window.
I feel like he's giving it a season. I feel like Dybala's going, I want to give it one more year in Turin. I want to give it one more year. I want to see how I do if Maurizio Sarri is going to use me. Because the fact that Maurizio Sarri was like, yeah, I'm happy for him to be sold, is worrying.
But yeah, Juventus for Dybala, for any attacker, it's so hard to thrive in a team that has Cristiano Ronaldo in the front line, because he eats up most of your shots and most of your attacks end at his feet. Yeah. So like, and you've seen in the fact like Dybala was like 20-something goals the season before and he scored five last season. You know, but again, I think he will be on the market in January, maybe. Definitely next summer.
Yeah. Especially if he's having he hasn't scored as many as he did last season either.
Mm.
Another big transfer that happened was Lukaku to Inter Milan for £74 million. £1 million less than United bought him. Somehow they pulled that off.
How
did United get £74 million for Lukaku?
Because he's good. He's a good player.
He's a good player, but £74 million.
You have to admit, that is a lot of money for someone that hasn't necessarily performed to what was expected.
It's still a bad sale.
From United's point of view, 100%. Yeah.
It's a really good price, but it's a bad sale.
Because United don't have a contingency plan in place to replace him.
And because how different is this from a month ago? I actually would rather have sold him a month earlier for like 8 mil less, but had time to get a replacement if I was Man United, than sell him now and be like, well, we got an amazing price. Mm. But also, now I think about it, surely United don't need to wait for the money to come in before they send money out. Like,
no.
United just needed a midfield. Like, the crazy thing was was after the window, I think like Solskjaer somebody said like, oh, well, you know, in an ideal world, Ollie would have liked another attacking midfielder. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting, because what it shows is that at no point did anyone consider getting a defensive midfielder. They're just going to roll in McTominay.
Our defensive midfield options are McTominay, Matic, who has no legs, and Fred, who just continually looked
at about Fred.
And you lost Herrera.
Yeah.
Fred just can't adjust to Premier League pace. Like, he seems so slow on the ball all the time. But for £52 million, I'm looking for more than three good games.
It's true. It's true. So dumb. You know, some players take a bit longer than others.
So, are we actually meant to build our defensive midfield around a 22-year-old Scott McTominay?
Do you honestly think you're going to have Ollie come January? Like,
Really? I think he'll be there at the end of the season.
Do you think you'll finish above Chelsea?
No. Yes. I think.
How confident are you?
Very confident.
Why?
Because Frank Lampard is so inexperienced.
So is Ollie. Like,
but he could be good, whereas Ollie, we know what he is. He's fine.
Yeah,
but again, I think United's squad is better than
really?
Chelsea's.
I don't think that's true. Okay, so
You've got Paul Pogba, I'll give you that 100%.
Whose defence is better? I would say it's Chelsea's.
Ooh, I don't know. I still think Shaw, Lindelof, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka.
But that's a long... Like, to take two players and make them gel together straight away... is hard to do.
And Chelsea's defense is good, man. Chelsea have a really good defensive personnel, and midfield, it's no contest. Like Chelsea's defense,
our midfield is shot to bits.
I think Chelsea's defense is not.
I will happily admit that.
Even if you say Man United's defense is better, it's not better by that much. And the protection that Chelsea's defense gets is so much better, because they've got Jorginho, Kovacic, Kante, Bakayoko. Like, all these guys are really solid defensively, and. Yes, their attack is worse, but I don't know. Is their attack vastly, vastly worse? I don't know. If Pulisic lands and is really good, like, which is part, he looked great in preseason.
Chelsea have lost Hazard, which is like such a massive goal involvement output.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you've got to ask yourself, who is going to replace that output? Willian, he's not going to bag 15 goals a season. Pulisic coming in his first season in the Premier League, looking to carry your attack and carry your goal output, is a big ask for somebody who's, what, 20?
But we can make the same point about Man United. Okay, so Lukaku's gone, that's 16 goals. I can't remember how many assists he got, but that's like 16 goals or whatever.
Wait, he got 13 in the league last season.
Okay, so that's 13 goals. Then Pogba, if Pogba's playing deeper in a two-man midfield, he's going to be able to get forward less, in which case you're also going to get fewer goals and assists from him.
Is Greenwood actually going to get double figures?
Of course he isn't.
He's not, but at the same time, I think Lukaku's goals were all quite incidental goals, or a lot of them were incidental stat-padding goals where he's scoring the third or fourth goal in games that are decided already.
But you can make the same point about Hazard. Like, I mean, I just feel like it's really hard to gauge, like, I don't really think there's any correlation between how good a player is and how often they score the first goal or the equalising goal or the winning goal. Like, I think that's really hard to check. But in Lukaku's defence, like, he gets those goals. If it's so easy to get those goals, why don't other players do it more? Like, and I just feel like I'm troubled by Man United's attack. If Tammy Abraham gets injured for Chelsea, it's actually not that big a deal. Like, it's not that big a drop down. Whereas if Rashford gets injured, basically I look at United and I see Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Pogba and Rashford. And if any one of those players gets injured, it's disastrous. For Chelsea, even if Kante gets injured, who's their best player, Bakayoko comes in and is going to be perfectly competent defensively. Like, in fact, he's very good defensively. So
yeah,
I don't know.
He's also so terrible in his first spell.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be like amazing. He just needs to be good enough to help you out in the meantime.
And plus, Kovacic is also there. Like, he can also do a defensive work as well. Like, I think the one thing I can say, right, is that we've got a manager who's never managed Hazard, so he doesn't necessarily have to replace him. Because he's just going in there and building his squad of what he has there. And I feel like the goals aren't... We aren't going to have someone that is hitting 20-plus goal involvements. It's not going to happen this season. What we might have is several players hitting 10 goal involvements compared to last year where it's just like two or three.
Yeah, but I think that's the same with United, and United are more used to that. Yeah. And we'll, over the course of a season, we'll finish higher. We'll grind out more results.
I honestly think
it's going to be really close between those sides, and actually Arsenal as well. I don't think Arsenal are going to be miles ahead of those teams if they are ahead of them. And I think if you polled people, you'd get like 90% of people saying United will finish ahead of Chelsea this season. And I actually think it's going to be much, much closer than people would like to think. Don't get me wrong, I'm not really defending Lampard. I don't think he's great at all. But if you just go on the strength of the squads, I think it's pretty much a wash.
Well, cycling back to transfers, if you had to pick one signing that was the best individual signing of the window, who would you choose?
Jeez, the best.
The best signing of this transfer window has been?
Ndombele.
I would say Ndombele.
Ndombele.
Yeah.
Based on?
Price, quality, youth, like exactly what they needed. Yeah. Like the fact as well that they should buy it. There were a couple of moves this window. I'd say Lo Celso, Pepe and Ndombele particularly. These were moves that like those clubs shouldn't really have been able to do. Spurs almost missed out on Champions League, even though they reached the final. Mm. And like in another year, a competent Real Madrid or a Man United in the Champions League just comes in and says, we're going to have Lo Celso. Real Madrid should have just taken Ndombele. But because they decided not to, they were like dicking about doing other things. Those guys just fell perfectly for Spurs to get them at below market rate.
Ronaldo? Man United were allegedly in for Ndombele at the same time.
Really?
But Man United are in for everyone.
He chose to go to Spurs.
Yeah, because they've got Champions League football.
Yeah,
I think,
and they're just
a
better side currently.
Sure, and like
it's a better project. You're working under a better manager. Yeah,
but I think a squad. There's a world where Man United are decent and are in the Champions League and you've got more money and you can convince them. I just think that everything aligned perfectly for Arsenal to get a player who should have been out of their range and for Spurs to get two players who should have been out of their range. And Ndombele, out of Ndombele, Lo Celso and Pepe, it's difficult because they're all great, but I think Ndombele is my favourite player.
The game's gone mad. So we kind of touched on our secondary topic with our conversation about United-Chelsea, but Premier League obviously comes back tonight. Liverpool are hosting Norwich, probably going to absolutely batter them.
I hope they do.
I can't wait to see.
I hope they don't, but it would be funny if they just like win like 8-0.
Yeah, so, quite easily.
Sunday Vibes Extra Time podcast, which is out tomorrow morning, does an in-depth look at Premier League predictions, so we don't want to tread on the toes too much of that, but quickfire Premier League predictions, maybe top six, relegation. What do you
think? I think we're all pretty much in agreement. Like, first City, second Liverpool, third Spurs, fourth Arsenal. And then I'm going to say fifth Chelsea, sixth United. But that'll maybe swap around for each other. Like, and then relegation, that's where things are interesting. Like, Newcastle, as much as I think getting rid of Rafa Benitez is the most stupidest thing they could have done, they've made some interesting signings. Joel Linton is very... seems good. Like, he'll probably do quite well for them, but I just don't see them getting out of the relegate. I mean, also Saint-Maximin, he's also looks very good. But I just don't know.
And they've also still got Almiron as well.
Yeah. I mean, but defensively, they're actually not too bad. And
their defense is good. Their defense is.
I thought midfield like they could do better. Like John Joe Shelby's still there. Like I think they can improve on him. So I think they might go down. Bright, if Duffy and Dunk have yet another year where they're somehow clearing about every other ball from inside the box, then maybe they'll survive. But apart from that, I don't see
Brighton have also brought
up
in Aaron Moy as well, which should help.
I don't think Brighton are remotely in danger. No.
Really?
Just from the point of view of how
you
many teams there are that are worse.
They're going to score another season.
But they've got two
plus
forwards. They've got Florian Andone and they brought in Neil Mopai. But more importantly, mate, like, Have you seen Sheffield?
Yeah.
Have you seen Aston Villa's signings?
Sheffield, I think, are nailed on 20.
See, yeah, I agree with Sheffield. I actually think Aston Villa by me, right, you know.
Oh, I think Aston Villa's signings are bad this summer. I think most
they
of them
are... They spent a lot of money.
And most of them are not even like... It's not like they're not amazing. They're like actually bad. Like, and and more importantly, like they are basically saying like our starting centre forward is going to be a guy who got 12 goals in the Belgian league last season. Okay. Like, have fun. Like, we'll see how that works out. Like, but I feel like people want Villa to be good because everyone believes that Jack Grealish is good because, like, Peaky Blinders is an overrated TV show.
I want Villa to go back down so Jack Grealish can leave and go to a better club.
Okay, sure. Well, that would be fine. Like, I mean, he probably should end up at Spurs, though he never will now.
He'll go to a better club next season, anyway. Even if Villa stay up, he'll go to a better club next season. There's no way.
I don't know if he's like... Because people that have to pick up this moniker of like club legends and like they die for the badge and all, when they're that young, they get brainwashed to being like, oh, I'll give it another year. All of a sudden, you're 26 and you're going to Burnley.
Yeah.
You know.
But Kieran Tierney, this is the thing.
I mean, I couldn't believe on social media last night, like Celtic fans, a certain subsection of Celtic fans being like, I can't believe he left, you know, turned his back on
us. Stay for 10 in a row.
Live the dream. Live the dream of winning 10 SPLs in a row.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Can you imagine how bored he is of winning the SPFL?
No offence to the Scottish League, but he's won everything he wants to in the Scottish League.
Yeah.
And he's actually not that young. He's 22.
And there's the part
he needs to move on.
They can't reasonably think as well that like they're on the same level. Like,
no, I think a lot of them generally do. Or a section of them do.
Arsenal are not one of the best clubs in Europe, but we're clearly bigger than Celtic. Yeah. And like in the same way that like in the past when like Cesc went back to Barcelona, it's like realistically, are we on the same level as Pep Guardiola's Barcelona? of course we're not. Like it's fine. But yeah, I mean like generally speaking, I agree with your predictions. Like I think fifth or sixth is like a little bit debatable. I also see a possible season in which like
Wolves,
Leicester go supernova.
This is the thing. I agree with your top four.
Ooh.
For me, I think fifth will be United and sixth will be Wolves.
Nice. So I think people
Chelsea
Wolves have not had a good window.
They're all right.
They've done basically nothing.
I still think they're better than Leicester.
Catrone is interesting, but Vallejo's interesting.
But I think Wolves last season, it's hard for them to make a step up. I think everything pretty much went right for Wolves last season. And I don't really see who like makes a big improvement this year to make themselves... Like, I don't see how Neves could turn into a player who then makes that difference. Or Jota, maybe. Jota's the possibility.
Yeah, I mean, Jota is a lot of their creative...
Well, they were.
But how big an explosion... He had such a good season last year that I don't know... He'd have to be like Eden Hazard level to like put them up a bit more this season. Plus, I think teams will kind of realise that this is the way they play. Whereas Leicester have more talent. And imagine like Harvey Barnes, second half of last year, was outrageous. Like if Harvey Barnes is just like the real deal,
that makes
the difference.
Tielemans and Maddison is a bit of a madness.
We went into this summer fully expecting Chilwell to leave and he didn't. There were rumours that Juve wanted Ricardo Pereira and he's still there. Like, yeah, Maddison was linked with a move away and Didi was linked with a move away. You now look at that team and you're like, there's pretty much strength. There's maybe one hole at right wing.
Who are their centre-back? Is it still Evans?
They've got Benkovic coming back from Celtic, who was really good at Celtic, and they've got Soyuncu, who they bought last season. Do you remember he was really heavily linked with Arsenal? Turkish centre back out of the German league, like really heavily linked with Arsenal, and in the end, Leicester bought him. So Leicester are kind of running it with the centre backs. It's still decent.
Johnny Evans will start for them, I think.
Yeah, Johnny Evans will definitely start. It'll be Johnny Evans plus one.
Yeah.
But their fullbacks are great. And when you've got Ndidi in front of you, it's less of an issue.
It's true.
So I don't know. I look at that team and I think one of these guys just goes supernova and Vardy has one more great season and they'll be fine. And when I say fine, they could be sixth.
I don't think it's that the likes of Wolves or Leicester have to have an amazing season or a much better season than they had last year. It's just that the potential for Chelsea or even United to have such a woeful season is there. So I really don't see us having
a woeful season. I just don't see it.
Oh, I don't know. It depends what you mean. Like, you'll be pretty bad, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly, hand on heart, feel like we'll be okay. Like,
I think there are going to be three spectacular teams in the league this season. My hope is then there'll be one pretty good team in Arsenal. And then I think United and Chelsea will be fairly bad.
Yeah.
I think there's three tiers when teams are bad. I look at players and I go, oh, these players, like, the reason they're bad is that like these players are just not cut out for it. They're not good enough. Whereas I actually look at Chelsea's squad and I'm like, like, these players are all capable of being like able to do this, like to challenge for top six.
Yeah, it's not like McTominay, where I look at McTominay and I think there's zero chance McTominay is a top class DM, like, or there's like a 2% chance that he's a top class DM. Whereas I look at Chelsea and I'm like, is there a chance that Pulisic is amazing? Yeah, Pulisic could be really
Mount.
Really
will Mount also do very well?
There's a better chance of Pulisic being an amazing forward than there is of McTominay being an elite level defensive midfielder. Yeah. But with respect to McTominay, he has actually looked really good in preseason.
I think he's a perfect. It's not criticism. I think I think he's a good squad player.
They're just levels.
Like, but I actually think Herrera quietly had a great season last year when he played.
Who wins come Sunday, Patty?
Well, it's at Old Trafford, so if there's not much to decide between the sides, you still go home team. I just think, I don't know though, Chelsea will be really, really up for it, man. Yeah. Like, and Lampard's a much bigger club legend than Solskjaer. I think how up for it like United were on it. I don't know. It honestly depends how many of the new signings are in place. Yeah. If Maguire starts, that'll help. But I don't know, man. I think I might go a narrow United win.
Looking at it, I can't see anything past a 1-1 draw, to be honest.
Really?
I think it'll be such a cagey match. I think it'll be terrible to watch.
Yeah, because it's like...
First game of the season against another top six opponent. Against an opponent that is like more than any other team in the league, your direct opposition.
I'm going Chelsea 3-1 win.
3-1 Chelsea win.
Yeah. Pulisic.
That was amazingly in tandem as well.
Pulisic. Yeah. Pulisic 2. Tammy's popped.
The only problem is though that you know where Pulisic plays, where Wan-Bissaka plays. Like Wan-Bissaka. I think Wan-Bissaka is good. Like, I love Pulisic, but I think Wan-Bissaka can make pretty much anyone his bitch.
You hope so.
Wan-Bissaka is actually mentally. Like, last season he was averaging over 4.5 tackles and interceptions per game.
And he's 21. Possession adjusted. He's so good.
But I mean,
playing for Palace as well.
You know, I looked at this and like
with an 89% success rate.
Oh no, it was over 90. I looked at this. You can look at like fullbacks and how many tackles they made, how many tackles they attempted, and he attempted like 130 or something.
Yeah.
And yet he failed with like 10. Mm-hmm. And the next player who's made like who attempted over like 60 tackles, like and had only like failed with 10 was like way down the list. Yeah. Like genuinely, like there are so few people who have that high a success rate. And also are trying to make that many challenges.
And also go to grind constantly.
And he dribbles a lot. And he's got...
His passing is very questionable.
He completed over 2 dribbles last year per 90.
Which is also puts him in like the top 5 in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to see how he handles the pressure, though. Like, it's a big thing. Yeah. Old Trafford, first game of the season.
It's weird because I want United to be terrible, but I hope that he's great. I think Wan-Bissaka is absolutely the real deal. Like, he's so good.
Regardless, football is back, so we're all winners.
Yeah, man.
Indeed.
Love it.
Except for Norwich, who are getting
pumped. You're getting... probably, yeah. I would say 4-0.
They might surprise us. They've got a few little players.
Timo Pukki banging a hat-trick.
Oh, that'd be sick, wouldn't it? Imagine if Liverpool...
Finally comes good.
A shock loss for Liverpool would just be such a lovely, like, amuse-bouche.
The game's gone mad. Right, so moving on to headlines. First one, Wayne Rooney, he's swapping DC for Derby.
It is interesting.
Does anyone care?
Derby County.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares. But there's
I read DC and I was like Derby County. Like, oh, okay, no.
I think Colleen's played a massive part here. In all honesty, I also think there's a lot of number 32s.
Sorry, did you say Colleen?
Colleen.
Firstly, I couldn't work out the pronunciation.
I thought it was
Colleen. But secondly, it was just like. Why? What? You think she's like, we must go and move to Derby.
No, but more so I think she wants to come back to England.
Even to Derby?
They won't live in Derby though, I don't think.
Yeah, come on. God, I hope not. Yeah. Then again, he lived in Cheshire before when he was at United, so I mean...
Like, he'll probably rock up the training like twice a week.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of this news, this is that Wayne Rooney has agreed to join Derby County in January as player coach, citing that his family struggled to adapt to life stateside.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, DC is famously not nice. Yeah. So, I mean, really, I'm sure he'd have had a nicer time New York Red Bulls.
He's killed it in the MLS, to be fair.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know whether he'll do well in the Championship. Like, the Championship is a lot harder than people give it credit for now. Like, but it's again, a very tough league.
Rooney on his day is so good.
But Rooney, like, a lot of the Championship is a lot of work rate and a lot of pace to it now. And that's, I mean, work rate, sure, but pace... Lost that about 10 years ago.
Even if he plays like more centrally and is a bit less mobile, when he did that at United, he was still good.
But does this not just feel to you like a sort of thinking the championship is still what it was like 5 years ago. Like the championship is a tough
and it's so annoying. It's a very competitive league. Derby have moved from like a team where their average age was nearly 30 to a team where, you know, when Lampard took charge and made it a lot more younger, a lot more progressive. I mean, they did sign Ashley Cole for sure, but a lot more progressive. And then they've gone, yeah, let's sign.
That was weird, wasn't it? Then he's on 80 to 100k a week, which would make him quite comfortably one of the most paid ever.
How long is he a player coach for though?
For like a year, isn't it? Oh wait, as long
I'm not sure how the long end the contract of the season. Is.
So he'll join in January, right?
He joins in January.
Yes.
And then after if it's the just MLS till the end of the ends. Season and then he becomes a coach.
I didn't even think that would be it, man. I think he'll just be until he feels like he wants to retire.
Yeah. Jesus. Wilfried Zaha is left devastated after Crystal Palace stand firm against Everton move.
Sad thing, man.
Wow.
I mean, one, you've only got yourself to blame. Don't sign such a long contract. Like if you are that adamant that you will get a move eventually. Don't sign such a long contract.
Just signed it
it's
as well.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, mate?
Everton apparently offered £55 million plus Tosin
Sick.
For Zaha.
Wow.
And James and McCarthy, right? Who actually went. Yeah.
But why do clubs keep offering players like Tosin like they're going to care?
Have
it
you
doesn't
look,
make
have
sense.
You looked at Palace's strikers? They might care.
Isn't it Benteke and
it's Benteke who Wickham. Will never score again. He's got the yips. Like it's Wickham and it's somebody else who I've forgotten about. And Alexander Sorloth is like out on loan. Like their striking options are abysmal.
Okay, maybe then.
If I were Wilf Zaha, I would go on like the greatest charm offensive of all time right now, and I would lie my tits off. Like I would be like, look, you know, it was really flattering that Arsenal were interested, and I was definitely, you know, like interested in pursuing that move. I can't lie, but like, you know what? Like when Everton came in, I don't know where that came from. Like I never had any interest in the Everton move. As you can see, you know, like James McCarthy
just
came.
Really salty about
it. And I'd be like, James McCarthy came to the club. Do you not think that if I were potentially going to go the other way, it would be discussed? Like this is all just agent talk. I was never going to go to Everton. Like I'm an eagle for life. Like
then just says that.
Yeah, and just do the little ego gesture. And like genuinely, I would just go on a major charm offensive now because there's no need. Like even if you're pissed off with the board or whatever. There's no value to it. You're never going to get this move.
Like, if you were Zaha, would you be pissed about the fact they're valuing you at £80 million?
No. If anything, it's quite flattering. And I get the issue here, right, is like he isn't necessarily an £80 million player, but Crystal Palace he 100%. Is. And that's the
thing. I think if Crystal Palace sell Zaha on deadline day with no like actual replacement, easily going down, in my opinion. So in terms of the cost of the club is monumental. To lose Wilfried Zaha that late in the window.
But I also think that keeping him will prove costly in the long term. Like, I think he might keep them up this year. He may even keep them up next year. But that squad's old. It's really old. And they really overpay. Like, they have one of the highest wage bills of the mid-table sides. And they need to reinvest a lot in young players. And I just think, I look at Palace and I see, like, a bullet travelling very, very slowly. Like, if they don't go down this year, I think they will. I think that at some point in the next couple of years, Zaha gets injured. Or Zaha finally does go, his contract runs out, or they just make a couple of bad bets transfer-wise and they go down because they're so fragile. Like they have a really old squad full of overpaid players whose contracts you can't shift. That's really, really worrying. And so from Palace's point of view, I actually think they should have said, you know what, if we can get... I think they would have actually really loved it if somebody had paid the 80. Like, I don't think it was a thing where they said, like, we're not going to accept... Like we're giving you an £80 million valuation in the hope you don't pay it. I think they were really hoping someone would pay it.
But because it's not worth £80 million.
But it would. They don't care. Like I think they were really hoping that they could at least get close to that. If Arsenal had gone to 70, we'd have got him. I'm pretty certain. Like if we'd gone to 65, Jesus. We might have got him. And I think in that case, you'd be like, right,
that's,
okay.
That's a lot of money for a player with a questionable end product.
No, I agree. Like I wouldn't pay that.
But that's
him.
What he's worth to Crystal Palace.
They were genuinely thinking. We can't justify to our fans selling him for 55, but we can justify it if we get into the 70. If we can sell him for the same price almost as Man United are selling Lukaku, then that is amazing for us and our fans might understand it.
Would you trust him to spend that money wisely?
No, not at all. But like,
that's why I end up last season.
Not great, but like, but this is the thing. Like, I wouldn't trust him to spend the money at all. However, your options are not just to never spend again and just hope things work out. Like, at some point, they're going to have to buy players and... I don't know. As soon as they were kind of thinking about like rumors talking about Kyle Jenkinson as a Wan-Bissaka replacement, then you think, okay, Palace are Palace are basically digging their own grave. Yeah,
Jenkinson, who's now at Nottingham Forest.
They're just really slowly digging their own grave.
I mean, I kind of agree with you that at this stage, it's just not, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah. Imagine if Wazaha breaks his leg like a month into the season, and then you're like, okay, well then are they relegated? Like, is that it? Probably.
Probably. The game's gone mad. So we've rambled on enough about football, so it's time for anything but football, which is actually my girlfriend's favourite section, and she tells me that she doesn't listen to any of the rest of the podcast. She just fast forwards right to the end to listen to this section.
Oh, that's so cute. Shouts, I should tell Emma to do that. Yeah. Shouts to Jess.
Our potential topics are the Ashes and England announcing their squad for the second test at Lords today.
Yay.
The Beatles and their 50-year anniversary of their Abbey Road album and the commotion that it caused in London. And McDonald's launching their spicy chicken McNugget range.
Okay.
Right.
Mad. I want to disregard Ashes straight out of the gate.
I mean, I felt that was coming.
Yes. Yeah, so
I don't mind cricket.
Beatles or chicken?
Beatles or chicken.
What do you want? A, B, C. I mean, we've got rid of A. We're on Beatles, chicken.
If it's Beatles or chicken, I'll be honest. I'm going chicken.
You're going chicken.
You're going chicken, so...
What are you saying?
I mean...
We could deal with both.
Yeah, we could deal with... Yeah. Let's start with chicken and see how it goes. So this is news that this week McDonald's have launched a spicy version of their chicken McNuggets. And it's actually come under a bit of criticism because apparently they're not great and they're not very spicy.
Why do people go to McDonald's and expect like gourmet food? It's shit. It's terrible. But you eat it and you deal with it.
I love McDonald's, man.
I go to McDonald's knowing exactly what I'm in for.
Yeah,
it's when you're in that current mood for like just shit food.
Yeah, it's like when you feel sick and you put on like a rom-com. That's what McDonald's is. You're like, I know what it's gonna be, and I'm gonna have like vague emotions and end up reasonably happy at the end. It's fine.
When you read spicy chicken nuggets, you'll think, okay, they're gonna have a bit of a kick to them and they're gonna be some.
But to be honest, like when I read spicy chicken nuggets, when I saw it on social media before it launched, I was like, I am so into this.
Why?
Because chicken nuggets are great and I love spicy things.
But why not?
So it's a marriage made in heaven.
Okay,
in my head.
Why don't you just dip your chicken McNuggets in a spicy sauce?
Yeah, but why don't you dip your spicy chicken McNuggets in a spicy sauce?
Because that I don't want that. What I want then, I want to dip a spicy thing in a cooling thing, potentially. Oh, no. Or I want to dip a non-spicy thing in a super spicy thing.
No, for me, I like, in terms of spice, I like things that like hurt.
Yeah, I get that, but like I just think...
You know, it's painful.
Yeah, but I like to...
You feel your taste buds dying.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Being burnt off.
When I get a burrito, I don't necessarily want... I always go for a milder salsa in it, and then I like to add hot sauce by the bite, you know, like to taste.
Yeah.
So I feel like with chicken nuggets, what I want is like a super spicy, like a chipotle sauce, like a really hot one,
mm-hmm.
like with habaneros or something. And then I can just like dip it to my heart's content, but I don't have to be like, oh, well, they've baked it into the breading.
And so plus, maybe there's
one... I want it to be like... moist.
Maybe there's one nugget as well. You just don't want anything. You just want just have the nugget by
itself.
Yeah,
I want a mayo one.
Yeah.
I want a little mayo one. Or you know, in France, they have like incredible mustard in McDonald's.
Oh,
it's out of this world good.
Well, as in like French style mustard, like Dijon?
Yeah, yeah. And they give it to you as a dip with your McNuggets, and it's...
Dijon mustard is actually quite spicy as well.
Sensational. Yeah, well, it's like...
Like that sensation, at least.
Yeah, it's like black pepper or something, where you actually do get a bit of spice to it. But it's like... I don't know. I just think like instead of wasting time making a second kind of McNugget, make an absolutely raging hot sauce. Imagine if they announced a partnership with Cholula or something. I know that's weird.
Cholula's not hot that hot.
No,
though.
But Cholula's like a nice hot sauce. Like it's like still fruity and like you're going
to
be able to sell.
There's
it.
A really nice hot sauce called Cancun, which is like a habanero based hot sauce. Yeah. And like habanero, in my opinion, is the king of the chilies in that it's actually very, very hot, but it's also very fruity.
That's my issue. Like, what I don't like with hot sauce is so often I taste the hot sauce and I'm like, it doesn't actually taste of anything.
Yeah,
it just tastes of heat.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
I don't really have a lot of hot food, if I'm being honest. I like to enjoy my food and not cry whilst I'm eating.
Fair enough.
That's what I often get.
I kind of like it when you have to wipe your nose.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I like it when like you're literally like...
Yeah.
Why? Why you put yourself through that?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's good.
It's kind of addictive though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird. It's like, same kind of
the
same...
I do like a certain amount of spice, but there's a point where I go, you know what? I've run out of tissues. Like, I can't be doing this.
Wow. There was this one place I stayed in Sri Lanka, and like we stayed there for like almost a week, like right at the end, like kind of a beachy place. And they made this chicken... with like this incredibly spicy marinade. And then what they did was pan fry it so it was really crisp on the outside and then roast it. and it was absolutely unbelievable. And like the first couple of bites, you get all the taste. And then like it was only towards the end when the heat had like reached critical mass that you were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But honestly, it was one of the greatest pleasures of my life. I ordered it almost every night. Like it, I ordered
Did
something
you make a
else.
Sick of it?
I ordered something else one night and I was like, I fucked up. But also,
it's
every
not as good.
I just started ordering it and other things so that I could also eat other things. But I knew I'd regret not getting it. It was so good. And I don't know, yeah, like spice done well is like. Oh. One of life's great pleasures.
So, on the topic of fast foods, what is your go-to fast food?
Great Q.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really get a lot of fast food. I'm quite a...
No, but like, sometimes you get a craving for it. Like, I actually think Five Guys are really reliable. I like Five Guys. Like, Five Guys is basically just like a zhuzhed up McDonald's, but you can't get nuggets, which is irritating.
But it
I
is
enjoy
overpriced.
KFC.
No, I don't like KFC.
I enjoy KFC a lot, KFC and I enjoy McDonald's.
I was obviously mad for KFC until I moved to London and found out about South London chicken shops.
Oh.
And for me, like Morley's, etc., are absolute heaven. Like chicken, like fried chicken wings. I will bathe in a bucket of chicken wings.
I moved from London Bridge, Bermondsey area, like South London proper, to like South West London, and like the density of chicken shops is like is so weak by comparison. Like I miss, you know what, the experience of South London is like fighting through a crowd of kids from Harris Academy to get into a Morley's.
Yeah,
like that to me is South London.
Like when before I moved in with Jess, when I lived in Brixton, there was a Morley's at the foot of my flat building. I mean, like as soon as you walked out the gate, it was right there, and it was unbelievable. Now the closest Morley's I have is like a 15-minute walk.
That's outrageous.
And to be honest, as much as I love Morley's, I'm not going to walk 30 minutes round trip.
This is what's so dumb about Doogie's obsession with Chicken World.
Like, he runs there as well.
I've never been... Oh, God. I've never been there, but it's just like, there are surely better alternatives.
I've had this conversation with Doogie. Doogie's only been there when he's not sober. Like when he's drunk. And so when he's having it, of course it's going to taste great. But then normally, a couple of like weeks ago into me, you had my first one sober.
Wow. No, this is the thing. I've frequently had Morley sober.
And Morley's 100%.
Morley's
because like, it was also right beside the bus stop, which took me directly to Brixton Underground Station. And I was like getting off from work. I was like, oh,
fuck it.
Three wings for a pound.
I could hammer an
absurd
bird.
Oh, nine, please.
Jesus. Hammer an absurd bird. Absurd bird is good as well.
I need to hurry up. I need some food.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Beatles, you're rubbish. Shouldn't have been a movie about it. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to sack off the Beatles.
It's the second most important anniversary this week.
After what?
My birthday.
On that note, that is everything we have for you this week. Thank you for listening to us ramble on for God knows how long. And we'll be back next Thursday evening for the usual slot of the Dogcast. So if you have any burning issues or topics that you want to discuss, please hit me up on Twitter. But keep them football related because I don't really want to hear about your agony uncle's style problems. Bye.
Bye. Job!